You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. The San Joaquin Valley has proven a consistent subject for some of the top photographers in the world. Perhaps it's the area's unique agricultural landscape and its stark divides between the bounty of crops and the arid natural landscape, or the contrast between abundance and poverty. Both of those factor into a new photo project by award-winning photojournalist Randy Lynn Beach. Her work has appeared in Rolling Stone, People, and the New York Times, but her latest work hits very close to home, the book and project called Westlands. Randy joins us now on the phone from the Bay Area. Randy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Randy, tell us, how did this project come about? How did you stumble across this idea?
Well, I was always interested in where our food and water comes from. I was always curious about those things. And I guess it initially started, I had an assignment for the LA Times dealing with globalization affecting the rice market in Japan. And from there, I started a project called Soil, which touched on the global issues affecting agriculture. So I wanted to see the issues firsthand. And I visited cacao farmers in Vietnam, asparagus farmers in Peru, and dairy farmers in Iceland. And I was working on a really nice portfolio, which was shaping up into a book. So that was kind of the precursor for Westlands, The Water Story. So the book could have like taken forever to work on, just looking at the global stage and agriculture. So I turned my attention locally and I went to the Central Valley, since it's the nation's breadbasket. And there were just so many issues there that it needed more attention than a daily assignment. So I thought I would take the interest and resources I had in working on my first project and try and make a book out of it. And water being a huge issue in the Central Valley, I used that as the main theme. So I guess I did the book, you know, I was working on that. And then I thought I would also do a documentary film to be a companion piece.
Now we're doing one of the more challenging things I think that one can try to do on the radio, and that's talk about a visual medium on an auditory medium. But we're going to do our best here. Tell me about the work itself. Are you focused on human stories, or is this more of an abstract landscape photography project? What is your focus with this?
I want it to be like a portrait of a region and sort of almost like a poem. I have to work for clients all the time, and I just wanted this to be, I wanted some freedom artistically. So that's why I would rely on a documentary film to give a foundation. And for me, I'm really inspired by Jean-Francois Millet. And I think it was my crack at doing it in a, as if I were a painter illustrating the region.
So what did you find? What stood out the most for you during your visit? And did you find what you thought you would find?
I did. it's like the realist painters from the 19th century. I felt like the Central Valley looked like some of that for me. And so I just took my time in trying to capture those moments. You know, like for my picture, Starlings, for me, that's my homage to Millet's Flight of Crows. And I was just kind of going for a mood, not just a landscape, but a feeling.
Again, we're talking with photojournalist Randy Lynn Beach, the author of a new book and documentary film called Westlands. Some beautiful photography here showing the stark agricultural landscape of the western San Joaquin Valley. The Westlands Water District is certainly the largest agricultural water district in California, and it's no stranger to controversy. Southern California and Valley farms in large part rely on water that is shipped to them from the north, where most of the precipitation in California falls. And that controversy and the consequences of the extraction of that water to the south has fueled controversy over the years. Did you touch upon that in any of your work?
I wanted to remain as apolitical as possible. So the book is more like I said, like a portrait of a region, or just, I wanted to create beautiful imagery, but for it to also have a social context. So there is so much controversy, but I just didn't want to turn people off to the work. You know, I wanted people to become aware of what's going on, maybe put like a human face on it. So I did address that in the film, and, you know, people can talk about that. But for the images, I wanted to get people to care about the Central Valley, because the story just got into my blood, and I just think it's such an important place.
Just a question of context, as I'm sure many listeners are asking this in their minds right now. Where did this project come from? Is this something that Westlands or associated growers or agricultural interests have funded work?
This was just self-sponsored, just like I started a different agriculture project before, which was kind of huge in its undertaking. I've always been driven by my personal projects. So I just did this on my own because I thought it was so important, and it just had more and more layers the deeper you got into it. So I just pursued it on my own with the hope it would become a book one day.
Were there any particular challenges that you faced trying to capture the landscape and the people there? Sometimes farmers can be a little suspicious of outsiders from the big city, journalists included, but also thus the vast nature of the landscape on the west side, I imagine, could also be a challenge. Did you face any of those, or maybe something else that you didn't expect and had to deal with like that?
Some people were suspicious, but I think I reached out to some farmers that were pretty established, and they made the introductions, so I had the access I needed to get the pictures I wanted to take, I wanted to document what was going on, and you just can't go there and just spill out of your car and start introducing yourself to people. You need a liaison for sure.
Was there anything surprising that really caught you off guard in that way, in terms of a surprise that you didn't expect in this project?
I was just really taken with the whole area, you know, just thinking about how it's the nation's breadbasket and all of this amazing produce that comes out of the area. And, you know, the people there were really nice. And I just thought it was a really important place. And I was just impressed with the people that I met and the place that it is. You know, I don't know if people, when they're driving down I-5 going to LA, are thinking about what a great place the Central Valley is there.
You mentioned the earlier work you did in agriculture and the project on the globalization of the Japanese rice industry, or the globalization of that industry and its effect on Japan. Did you see any parallels, anything that was sort of similar across both of those projects?
I think the central theme is just getting people maybe in urban areas to care about what goes on in rural areas. I don't know if everyone thinks that much about where their food or water comes from, if it's so plentiful. And it's just, I think I'm always interested in preserving tradition and seeing I think that's what makes a place special. So there are similarities as far as economic or political migration. There are definite parallels.
Now, we've mentioned the film that goes along with this project. Tell us about that and who you talk to and what you hope to accomplish with that portion of the project.
I think the film lays a foundation for the artwork, because I really wanted this book to be an artistic project, not like a newspaper assignment, which are, you know, I love doing that and that's great. But the film lays a foundation and I think explains what's going on there really well. So I interviewed Professor Tom Holyoke and citizens, government officials, people that live there. So I thought it would be an informative thing. just to sort of describe what was going on there was more, it wasn't just about the drought. It's about politics and the environment. So I think the film describes that pretty well. I interviewed farmers and at the time the mayor of Mendota, and they give a good firsthand impression of what's going on.
In talking with them and hearing their perspectives, what story ultimately did you tell?
I think the concern is whether the western part of the San Joaquin will still be around. I think that was the overall concern, whether it's sustainable and how long it can last there. And it's such an, you know, it grows so much produce and almonds and all of this. Like, if we don't get produce and food from there, where is it going to come from? So what is the solution if the Westlands area doesn't exist anymore?
Where can people find your work, find the book, and find the documentary?
The book is on most bookseller websites or in bookstores. And University of New Mexico Press published the book. You can see the documentary on randylinbeach.com. You can always find the book on Amazon. I was just in Barnes & Noble in the Bay Area. I saw it there. And a lot of times it's in the social science category. Randylinbeach.com. You can see Westlands, A Water Story, the documentary film.
Randy Lynn Beach is an award-winning photojournalist and filmmaker. Her work has appeared in Rolling Stone, the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, among others. Her most recent project is called Westlands, a new book and a documentary. Randy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.